This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No clear winner in Georgia. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, April 19, welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
There will be a runoff election for a vacant House seat in the Atlanta suburbs. None of the candidates in a special election won more than 50% of the vote. Hear why it was so closely watched.
A man in Fresno, California is arrested for fatally shooting four people, while the alleged Facebook killer from Cleveland committed suicide as authorities closed in.
Multiple reports today say Fox News is negotiating the dismissal of popular host Bill O'Reilly.
And a preview of the new Samsung S8 Galaxy smartphone, which will be in stores Friday.
So Samsung very, very smartly said, okay, let's not make it any wider. So this thing is the same width, actually slightly thinner than last year's S7, and actually even just a hair thinner than even the iPhone 7. But it's considerably taller. That gives you that extra real estate. That's where they filled in for the screen. It was screen area for the stuff that they snipped out.
Wall Street Journal tech writer Jeffrey Fowler on Samsung's latest smartphone in about 20 minutes. In a race widely seen as a referendum on President Trump, Democrats, who spent a whopping $8 million, were unable to initially win the race for a vacant House seat in Georgia that's been in Republican hands since 1979. Democrat John Ossoff was the top finisher, but didn't get the required 50% threshold that would have given him the House seat and avoided a runoff election.
We have defied the odds. We have shattered expectations.
Mr. Ossoff, a 30-year-old documentary filmmaker, is now likely to face the expected second-place finisher, Republican and former Georgia Secretary of State Karen Handel.
The sixth district is solidly red, and I am absolutely confident that come tomorrow morning, Republicans are going to unite around whether it's me or someone else, whoever is a Republican in the runoff. And then on June 20th, we will have a Republican who is the next congressman.
President Trump declared success even before the final results were known, writing on Twitter shortly after midnight that Republicans had scored a win despite, quote, major outside money. Well, more now from Daniel Littman, co-author of Politico Playbook and also a reporter for Politico. He's with us live this morning. Good morning, Daniel. Explain who these candidates are. Start with Mr. Ossoff.
Sure. So this guy is a tech entrepreneur, only 30 years old, also has some national security experience, and was a documentary filmmaker. And he really captured the attention of Democrats who wanted to show Trump that there's this huge grassroots energy against his agenda. The other runoff person is Karen Handel, former Georgia Secretary of State, who's had several, or at least one, failed statewide runs in Georgia in the past.
All right, she's been out of office for a few years, right? She was Secretary of State from like 07 to 2010 or something?
Yeah, I guess she was trying to get back in the game.
Why was this seen as a referendum on President Trump?
I think because of the failed health care bill about a month ago, Democrats thought they could notch another victory. And what's interesting is this is a very red seat. This was Tom Price's seat before he became HHS secretary. And yet the Democrat got 48% of the vote. So Democrats think if deep red seats almost go blue, then what about all those moderate seats where, Democrats could try to take back the House?
All right. So he got roughly 48% of the vote, but there were like 11 Republicans running, right? Does that kind of, water down the results at times?
Yeah, it was Republicans probably should avoid having multiple people run in the same seat. But this is an unusual thing, whereas basically one election, there are no primaries for both sides. But it is interesting, the 48% number, because that would, that kind of indicates that this is a district that there was a lot of Democratic energy to get out to the polls.
All right, so if he had won more than 50%, he would have captured the seat outright?
He would have.
Yeah.
And so this makes it much more challenging for him to win when the runoff is.
All right, so now we fast forward to June 20th when we have this runoff election between Mr. Ossoff and Ms. Handel. How does that change things now that it's just one Democrat versus one Republican?
I wouldn't write John Ossoff off, but it looks like Republicans were always hoping that if it would just get to a runoff, then they could win. It depends on how good a candidate Karen Handel is, given that she has failed in some recent attempts. And so they don't really pick, they haven't really picked well Republican candidates to win in some of these places. And so, we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm. Well, if that's the case, it doesn't say much of the $8 million or so the Democrats spent on Mr. Ossoff.
No, but that's also what I thought was the most fascinating figure was how there's so much out-of-state money. Basically, for every $100 that was spent, only one penny of it was from Georgia itself.
Wow. Wow. Could that be a trend, say, in the midterms next year?
I think Washington has always, in New York, with Wall Street money, has always put so much cash in across the country. There just isn't the huge sums of money that different states' donors want to spend on races. So it's nothing new that the lobbyists and special interests basically shovel wire money constantly down to different districts. But it was very amplified in this situation.
Yeah, wow. We're speaking live this morning with Daniel Lipman, co-author of Politico Playbook, also a reporter for Politico, discussing this special House election in Georgia to fill the seat vacated by Tom Price, who's now the Health and Human Services Secretary. Did the candidates themselves, at least the two leading ones, Ossoff and Handel, make President Trump an issue on the campaign trail?
John Ossoff did much more than Republicans. They couldn't really abandon Trump because they had to turn out his base. But they also didn't like that Trump tweeted several times yesterday and Monday saying, that defeat John Ossoff. They didn't want to make it a race on Trump's intervention.
Yeah.
And so that was a challenge for them. But you can't really tell Trump how to use his Twitter account.
Right. So June 20th, when we learn the results, what might we take away and start to pour over ahead of next year's midterm elections?
I think, it depends on who wins. And if the Democrat has a very strong showing, then Republicans really have to think twice about how much help they want to give to Trump in Washington, because they know that every controversial vote they do will be tied to them in the midterms. And so I would say some Democrats, they thought that Ossoff was oversold. One Democratic Georgia source told me that she wanted Ossoff to win, but he was kind of a robot when you actually saw him because he didn't want to make a single mistake and didn't want to say anything controversial. And so, I don't know if there's going to be this wave of robots coming, Democratic robots coming in right. For next year's election.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you, Daniel. Daniel Lipman, co-author of Politico Playbook and also a reporter for Politico. It's 15 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. A man suspected of fatally shooting three people in downtown Fresno, California, had used Facebook to express his dislike of white people. But even though police say he yelled Allahu Akbar, Arabic for God is great, authorities are investigating this as a hate crime, not a terrorist attack. The suspected shooter, a 39-year-old man with a long criminal history named Corey Ali Mohammed, is in custody. Here's Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer.
We believe it is a hate crime, definitely a hate crime. But we don't believe it was necessarily terrorist related, nor at this time do we believe that he was acting with anyone else. although that can change as the investigation goes on.
Mr. Muhammad's first victim yesterday was a passenger in a Pacific Gas and Electric pickup truck. He then allegedly continued to walk down downtown, firing randomly at others. He shot and killed another man, then a third, in the parking lot of Catholic Charities. Mr. Muhammad, who also refers to himself as Black Jesus, is also suspected of shooting and killing a security guard at a Fresno motel last Thursday. All his victims were white men. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in a Georgia congressional election in a conservative district is heading to a runoff that raises the stakes in an early measure for both major parties ahead of the 2018 midterm elections. Democrat John Ossoff, a 30-year-old former congressional staffer, fell a few percentage points shy of an outright victory amid an 18-candidate scramble.
We will be ready to fight on and win in June if it is necessary.
Republican Karen Handel, a former Georgia Secretary of State, finished a distant second but qualifies for a June runoff.
They are voting for who is going to be their next congressman, and what they're looking for is someone they trust, someone they know, someone with a track record of actually getting things done. And that's what I presented to the voters of the district, and I feel pretty good about things.
No winner will succeed Republican Tom Price, who resigned the seat to join Trump's administration as health secretary. The Trump administration has notified Congress that Iran is complying with the 2015 nuclear deal negotiated by former President Obama, and it has extended the sanctions relief given to the Islamic Republic in exchange for curbs on its atomic program. But Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the administration has undertaken a full review of the agreement to evaluate whether continued sanctions relief is in the national interest. The New York Police Department says the death of a New York Court of Appeals judge whose body was found on the banks of the Hudson River in Manhattan last week is suspicious. The NYPD says it will treat the death of Justice Sheila Abdesalam, the first black woman to serve on New York's top court, as suspicious because there was no immediate indication of suicide or criminality. The department says the death appears to be non-criminal, but at this point, it can't say for sure. Wondering why you can't stop at just one chip? It may be because salty snacks make you hungry, not thirsty. New research has found that a salty diet actually caused the test subjects to drink less, not more. Evidently, salt triggers a mechanism in the kidneys to hold on to water and produce waste, a process that eats up energy, causing hunger, not thirst.
Well, I have a solution, and that's when I eat too many chips. I then switch to cookies, and that seems to solve the problem of getting hungry.
Yes. You get your salt fixed and then the sugar fixed.
It's great, great little technique I have. It's great for my cholesterol, too. 23 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you want to take your business to the top, take it to a top 10 state for business, Michigan. Contact MichiganBusiness.org today. The Samsung Galaxy S8 smartphone, which arrives in stores Friday for $720, is impressive for its screen size and is nearly as capable as a desktop computer. Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler says all that, yet it isn't hard to hold the S8 in one hand, and it doesn't look like a paperback stuffed into your jeans. He says Samsung has figured out what we really want, a giant smartphone that's also small. Jeff, your takeaways.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a week now, and I have to say I've seen the future of the smartphone. It is a really big phone that feels like a medium-sized or even small phone. The way Samsung did this here was they made the front of their newest smartphone almost entirely screen. And if you compare it, you put it one hand, you put an iPhone, and the other hand, you put this new Samsung phone, it's like night and day. Like, they snipped away both the sides of the left and right sides of the phone, and they made it curve down sort of like an infinity pool. And then at the top and bottom, they got rid of all but just a little sliver of metal. What it means is that you can fit as much screen area in this new S8 as you can in the giant iPhone 7 Plus in much less space.
Interesting. All right, so you say, too, that it's taller, not wider, which is better, because as phones evolve, our thumbs are not. So it's easier to use.
That is very true, yeah. So ergonomically speaking, the most challenging part of a phone is you got to grip onto it, right? As you're walking around, as you're maybe, you know, boarding a plane or riding a train to work. And so as phablets have come along and become really popular, it's been a really sort of awkward compromise for many of us. You know, like, how do you hold on to this thing because they just keep getting wider? So Samsung very, very smartly said, okay, let's not make it any wider. So this thing is the same width, actually slightly thinner than last year's S7, and actually even just a hair thinner than even the iPhone 7. But it's considerably taller. That gives you that extra real estate. It's where they filled in for the screen. It was screen area for the stuff that they snipped out.
Thanks, Jeff. Wall Street Journal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Wednesday, April 19, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Congressional race in Georgia goes to a runoff. Fox News is in talks to get rid of Bill O'Reilly. CBS This Morning co-host Gayle King raising ethical eyebrows for vacationing with the Obamas. Fresno man accused of four murders. The Cleveland Facebook killer committed suicide. The older former President Bush is in the hospital with pneumonia again. 3D cartoon objects on Snapchat today. Big asteroid passes within about a million miles from Earth today. North Korea on standby to shoot it down. Just kidding. And Vegas casinos getting stingy with drinks. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Facebook admits it took too long to identify and take down videos of the fatal shooting Sunday in Cleveland of an elderly man and his alleged killer's plan and live confession. At its annual developers conference yesterday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the social media giant is developing artificial intelligence to better flag content on the site.
We have a lot more to do here, and we're reminded of this this week by the tragedy in Cleveland.
Also offered condolences to the family. And questions have surfaced again about the giant social network's ability to address objectionable material on its platform. But realistically, what can be done? Here's John Swartz, San Francisco bureau chief at USA Today. John, how do you see this?
I'm not sure what they can. They have some options, but I'm not sure how effective those options are going to be. So, for instance, Facebook's looking at the use of artificial intelligence to identify potential problems among all of their users who post video to their personal profiles. There's also a talk or suggestion that they create some sort of delay, like networks or like radio or TV have, like a 7-second delay, so they can, if they can spot something early enough, they can either shut it down entirely or edit it. Or there's even the choice of a kind of an algorithm that would search out words or images that are inappropriate or illegal that would cue their curators to shutting it down. Here's the problem. Okay, those are the possible solutions. Here's the problem. You've got nearly 2 billion people with Facebook accounts who can post video at any moment in real time. And Facebook only has thousands of curators to catch the inappropriate video. So, you know, a network or even a radio station has the option of one filter. There they have potentially 2 billion filters working at the same time. That's the problem.
That's unbelievable. That's roughly a quarter of the world's population, right, with the potential to post something live.
Right, exactly. And so, for instance, yes, on Sunday we have three videos. We have a taped video where Steve Stevens announces he's going to kill someone. That's posted later. Then he has a confession live. This is all going on over the course of the morning in Cleveland. Facebook doesn't know about the existence of the actual shooting, which is pretty graphic, for nearly 2 hours until someone points it out to them. So for 2 hours, you basically have somebody being shot point blank in the head, and they know nothing about it, despite all the curators they have out there to spot these types of things. It's literally impossible. I mean, it's just like basically, if you turn on your cable package and you had 2 billion channels, it just, I don't know, short of completely revamping the system, what they could do.
We're speaking with John Swartz, San Francisco bureau chief at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled Facebook's Quandary Monitoring Content Highlighted by Shooting Video. Speaking of this, these videos released in Cleveland. But some feel that Facebook has some responsibility here or should or might be punished?
It does. I mean, they're providing the platform, whether it's video or just the platform itself, non-video. One severe solution might be regulation, but I don't think that's going to happen in this climate with this administration. I also think that to blame the platform entirely is probably inappropriate. You think about all the different things that are posted on Facebook Live or just on comments on Facebook, all the comments, I would say 99.9% of them are positive or good. Usually people use Facebook Live to show a wedding or a concert they're at or something that's a positive. And so you have these outlier episodes that occur that are, in a sense, gaining traction in the media. I mean, we wrote about it. It was all over cable news yesterday.
Yeah.
My only fear, I think the big fear within Facebook and the fear with law enforcement is that this is going to inspire copycats. So we're going to have other people, maybe even like a terrorist action where they decide, let's do something bigger and bolder than the last posting. I mean, it sounds terrible, but that is one of the kind of side effects of a social media platform that reaches so many people so quickly and that is, in a sense, become part of our everyday life.
Thanks, John. John Swartz, San Francisco bureau chief at USA Today. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. Been swapping notes with folks this morning. I am easily distracted, so this is a little bit of a competition for me to swap notes on Twitter during the show and not make a mistake. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know humans have proven over the years that we'll do a lot to win a free car, but would you lock lips with it for more than 48 hours? That's what people have been doing since Monday in Austin in a bizarre contest that will reward the last person slobbering with a free Kia. The Huffington Post says that since 7 a.m. on Monday, contestants have been pressing their lips to two different cars inside of an Austin dealership as their marathon is broadcast on Facebook. The Kiss a Kia contest started with 20 people. By Tuesday afternoon, that number was down to 11, and at last update, there appeared to be 10, though the live feed appeared to have been disabled when I last checked. Fortunately, there are 10-minute breaks each hour, though that's little consolation when you're going on 2 days of no sleep. After each break, the participants must rotate places, requiring a little wipe down of the car by their place taker. Those who were standing before the break also have to sit in the next hour, and vice versa. If after 50 hours there are people still hanging on, one of their names will be drawn at random to determine the winner.
Oh, no. No. What?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I don't like that ending at all.
That's terrible.
Especially because it sounded like 10 people at last check were still there.
Oh, no. So that's 10 Kias they got to be given away. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I agree. I think this should go on until they collapse.
By the way, 10 minutes of break per hour?
Yes.
What's that about? You want to get this contest over with? No breaks.
Yeah.
Okay, no breaks. It's over in about 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was sponsored by a local radio station that maybe wanted to sell some ad time or something. That's what I'm guessing.
Listen, good publicity for them. Did you say the feed was broken last you checked on Facebook?
Yeah. They had sort of a recorded feed that was playing. The live feed was not actually on there. But as far as I know, the contest is still going on. So, I guess we'll be wrapping up sometime this morning.
Well, might they be generating April the Giraffe type numbers?
Yeah. I'm not sure they'll be breaking any records.
Kiss the Kia.
As far as I know. But it's a lot of people are talking about it.
Okay.
And speaking of the Lone Star State, Gordon, a woman who attempted to fix a toilet clog by getting her hand jammed inside had to call firefighters to break the commode and free her stuck arm. Gracie Henderson of New Caney, Texas, found her toilet clog last week and says she didn't have a plunger. She didn't want to shell out for a plumber, so she attempted to clear the clog by reaching into the toilet drain.
Mm. What do we have in here?
Yeah.
Swishing around with your hand trying to find the clog object.
Oh, boy. Her watch then became stuck on something inside the toilet, and she couldn't get it free. Firefighters responded to the home and set about the task of freeing Gracie while her friend filmed video that she later posted to Facebook. The video shows the firefighters remove the toilet from the restroom and carry it outside with Gracie attached, where they broke a hole in the commode with a sledgehammer to free her arm. The video, by the way, has now been viewed over 1.2 million times.
I just watched it.
Yeah, so 1.2 and 1 times. Yeah. How about that for a friend, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm not going to help you get out. I'm just going to film this and put it online.
And cheer on the firefighters.
Wow. So I'm sure you'll be reaching for the Purell after this, after hearing that story.
Right. How about if the firefighters had a sense of humor, they just would have developed some sort of sling so she could carry the toilet around with her as punishment for a couple of hours.
Right.
I have hashtag toilet arm.
That will learn you.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Thanks for being with us. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the Massachusetts Department of Corrections, says former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez has committed suicide by hanging himself in his cell. Hernandez's body was found shortly after 3 a.m. Hernandez hanged himself with a bedsheet attached to his cell window and had also attempted to block the door from the inside by jamming the door with various items. Hernandez was serving a life sentence for murder. Authorities in Fresno, California, have captured a suspect in the slaying of 3 white men who were walking on the city streets yesterday morning. Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer says 39-year-old Corey Ali Muhammad's Facebook page contained numerous anti-government posts and claims of hating white people.
We do not have any reason to believe that he was with anyone, but that certainly could be the case. We, based on witness information that we have, he was by himself when he did the shootings.
Hours before the shootings, police had issued a release saying Muhammad, who was suspected in the shooting death of a white security guard last week, was armed and dangerous. The Navy has confirmed that it didn't send one of its aircraft carriers directly toward North Korea amid growing tensions with Pyongyang, despite comments last week by President Trump and his top defense advisors that it was on its way. In fact, the USS Carl Vinson was thousands of miles away on exercises off the northwest coast of Australia and likely won't arrive near the Korean Peninsula until sometime next week. Former President George H.W. Bush is in Methodist Hospital in Houston following treatment for a recurrence of a case of pneumonia. The 92-year-old has been there since Friday. In January, Bush spent 16 days at the same hospital being treated for pneumonia. You may think that sheep are stupid, defenseless, mope around on hillsides, and aren't good for much beyond producing wool. But new research finds that the animals are surprisingly intelligent and have impressive memory and recognition skills. Sheep also build friendships, stick up for one another in fights, and feel sad when they're separated from their friends. On the downside, sheep are hugely destructive creatures.
Where did this come from? Did you make this? Are you now adopting or sheltering sheep?
Is that where this is from? No, but it's kind of funny.
I didn't hear one slice of evidence either that they're surprisingly intelligent.
They can recognize faces.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Are casinos in Las Vegas getting stingy? They're now introducing technology to signal when a person has played enough poker to get a free drink. Typically, guests get a complimentary pour at a bar regardless of how much they bet without being tracked. Now, a little green light flashes on the back of an electronic poker game. The Wall Street Journal says casino operators are re-examining the perks that historically lured gamblers, even charging for parking at resorts on the Strip. On a recent night at a bar inside the Paris Las Vegas casino, Jamie Ballas and her father getting used to the new drink monitoring system. They'd just been instructed on how much they need to put into the machine to allow booze to flow. A bartender told her to push the max bet button 4 times. So far, the system applies only to machines at casino bars. Players at slot machines on the floor can still wave down cocktail servers for free drinks. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.